Hey guys, welcome back to the Music That Made America podcast. My name's Jacoby.
Hi guys, I'm Jordy.
Hey, what's up? I'm Noah.
And today we have a very special guest star.
Hi, my name is Tanny. I am very excited to be here today on the Music That Made America podcast. Today, we will cover Dion DiMucci.
Thank you. All right, what a great intro. Let's just get right into it. Would you like to start, Jacoby?
Yes, I would like to. But first, I would like to ask Tanny one question. What do you know about Dion DiMucci?
I know Dion DiMucci. I think he sings the song Run Around Sue. That's a very good song. And I think he sings the song that's in the Fallout 4 trailer, Wanderers. That's also a very good song.
Very interesting that they're still using his songs today.
Awesome.
Yes, yes.
All right. So let's give it and start it off with that. He was born with the full name Dion Francis DiMucci in New York in 1939 in the Bronx. He is one of the most prominent rock and roll artists of the pre-British invasion era, which actually means pre-Beatles. It basically, that before the Beatles, actually, before the Beatles, there was Dion. After the Beatles, there was Beatles.
Right, exactly. And it does not mean that is the Revolutionary War in America.
100%.
It's not that kind of British getting revenge. It's like the British getting revenge on us through music.
Right. Yes, basically, it was like the Beatles revolution basically was that the Beatles kind of like
it's
uplifted
like the,
rock.
It's like the reverse Revolutionary War. Right. Let's just
continue.
Yes, it's not even close to the British Revolutionary War.
All right, anyway, whatever.
It
really does not matter, guys. Oh, my God. Okay. Okay, so anyway, Dion DiMucci, he developed interest in country music, blues music, and doo-wop.
Fun fact, doo-wop is spelled D-O-O-W-O-O-P.
Not doo-woop, it is doo-wop. Okay,
doo-wop. Very nice.
He would often doo-wop, accompany doo-wop. His father on his tours, because his father was a vaudeville entertainer on tours in which he helped develop his interest in country music.
He started his musical career singing on the streets and corners in the streets in the Bronx.
So clearly he started all the way from the bottom and made it to the top.
Yes.
That is
yes.
As far
good.
As you can
yes.
start. It is very interesting and it's very satisfying to find out that he, like many other unknown artists, have been, you know, they started from the bottom, now they're here.
It's very satisfying.
As Drake says.
Very, very satisfying.
Excuse me, who? Who'd you just mention?
I said... Drake.
That is a 2000s person. We do not mention 2000s artists.
In the early 1957, he, along with Bomb Gene Schwartz,
let's go, Schwartz baby,
of Mohawk,
Schwartz be with you,
of Mohawk Records, they recorded the single "The Chosen Few" with the backing vocals provided by the musical group The Timberlands.
Not Justin Timberlake.
Yes.
Who
is
singing,
that we don't mention?
We don't mention 2000 names.
Noah. He was not, also not kind of like 1990s.
In 1957, he joined a band called the Belmonts, and this band included Carlo Mastrangelo, Angelo Diallo, not D'Amelio, as in Charlie D'Amelio, and Fred Milano. In the following
Very
years,
Italian.
The group yes, the group released top chart singles such as "No One Knows," "A Teenager in Love," and "Where or When."
That is very interesting. Let's just pause there for a second. I just want to point out the fact that at a very young start to the band's career, they actually came out with hit songs, which is very – it's not very rare because it is the first few years. But
yeah.
They were able to secure a kind of prominent role after a few years to release some very good music and get it to the top charts.
Yep.
And especially for that time, they were dealing with a lot of great artists. And not only that, but it was – I guess vocals weren't as – like, I guess vocal artists,
vocal
I guess you call
artists,
it, you could call it, or whatever.
Like
doo-wop
artists.
Bands. Or solo,
yeah.
It, well,
yeah.
He wasn't solo at that time. He was with
yeah,
the Belmont
yeah,
stuff.
Was, yeah.
But they really weren't that it wasn't that they weren't mainstream. It was just that they were becoming mainstream.
Yeah,
but other
yeah.
people
there
were doing the exact same
period.
Thing.
Yeah,
it was like transition period.
The transition.
Yes. So there was more.
So
it was your head
of the transition.
Yes.
Yeah,
and it wasn't just Dion and the
But
it wasn't just Dion and the Belmonts. There was other bands. But Dion and the Belmonts were like basically they were basically
the pioneers
to this. This was basically, like I said, he's a pioneer in rock and rock.
Yes.
So it's good.
All right, cool.
It is good.
All right, so after they released those top hits, the success of the songs led Dion to join the Winter Dance Party, which was a tour,
And he was alongside the Big Bopper, Richie Valens, Buddy Holly, who we did a podcast on last week.
Yes.
And Frank Sardo, among other
Not
artists.
Not last week. Two
or two, sorry, 2 weeks ago. And Frank Sardo, among other artists that he, that was in the Winter Dance. So all of a sudden, he was with all these big stars and making a quite an impact with all these really popular names.
Do you think working with all these artists kind of boosted his interest in doing a solo career?
Yeah, of course.
Absolutely.
He's like, look at those guys. Yeah. He saw how popular and famous they're getting. He's like, oh, why can't I do this myself?
That's true.
And that led him, by the way, to leave the Belmonts. So yeah, left the Belmonts because of personal reasons and financial differences. So clearly he was like, I'm out of here. Let's do my own thing.
I want money.
Yes, it was probably more about the fact that he didn't want to split a 25% paycheck or 25% paycheck.
Yep. And he became very, very successful, and he wrote two hit songs, The Wanderer and Runaround 2, and very famous Runaround 2 is included in the Rolling Stones' The Greatest 500 Songs of All Time. Now, that's a very good achievement considering how many songs there are. And that song being on...
Yeah, keep on going.
Like, in the list, like, that. I think that's a very good achievement.
All right. Now, eventually starting up... he started up the solo career with the first album being Alone with Dion, which is very ironic because he was alone. But and then through those, basically, Runaround Sue and The Wanderer, I'm pretty sure those were both in Alone with Dion.
Okay.
I think he released them together.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, so after he made some of those hit songs, that including Runaround Sue and The Wanderer, he switched over to Columbia Records in 1953. Immediately after that, he created three massive hits. So first one being Run Baby, and then Donna,
Ruby Baby,
Donna the Prima Donna, and Drip Drop. So three big songs right there.
Yeah.
And that was all after he switched to Columbia Records.
Very beautiful songs.
Yes.
Very, very beautiful.
All right, as a solo career, may I add, so I think this was the right choice for...
Now, sadly, in the 1960s, due to a heroin addiction, his career took an unfortunate hiatus, which means it's basically just that he couldn't perform. A long break.
He took about
a five-year break, I think.
Yeah.
And this is a very big problem. A lot of rock artists, they get addicted to heroin, and it really, really ruins their lives. Like, in the 80s, there was Nikki Sixx, bassist for Motley Crue. He was a really big heroin addict, and
messed him up.
Yeah, really messed it up. And you can read about it in his book, The Heroin Diaries. But we'll talk about that.
But for 60s, it's kind of also weird. I haven't heard a lot of 60s stories where they were getting addicted to heroin.
Yes.
It's very interesting.
It was more
like LSD acid and weed and stuff like that.
Change your view of the world.
Yeah. It's just, it was
absolutely
a hippie era, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like not the hardcore drug kind of era.
Yep. All right. Yeah. All right. So moving on. Any other comments?
I think we're good.
Let's move on.
All right. So he briefly reunited with the Belmonts in 1967 and recreated his chart domination, just basically like re-sang his solo songs with them, which brought him up and... his high charge. It was in 1968. He released a song named Abraham, Martin, and John.
Now, did we establish if the song was starting to give him a religious sense of purpose?
I think this song could have been the because Abraham
Lincoln,
Martin Luther King,
Lincoln, Martin Luther King,
John
Adams. F. Kennedy.
No,
I
think you guys
are
just completely making your own.
King Martin and John, St. John.
Yes.
We honestly did
not do research into that song.
But we're not rabbis here. That's possible.
All right. Moving on. This song reached number 4 in the U.S. charts and number 1 in Canadian charts.
That's crazy.
They sold more than 1 million records on that song, which is pretty crazy.
That's a lot.
And then in 1963, so this is before he made that song. Let me just say, this is quite a name. He married his wife, Susan Butterfield.
Now,
can we pause?
I love to feel butter. It's a very nice feeling food, and he definitely liked to feel it.
Yes. And like, of course, like 1 million records due to inflation. That's like.
That's a lot of money. Not bro, maybe even more than $10 million.
No records, like due to inflation, bro.
Oh yeah, yeah, 100%. Because that works with the records too.
Yeah,
the
bro, that's how inflation works.
But actually, what I find really interesting is that more people listen in Canada, which really, I haven't heard a lot about music like from.
This is the music that made America.
But it was all over the world.
Yes, so
there are a lot of. But this wasn't a Canadian artist.
But this, yeah,
But this made it to Canada. That's how wide. This is how widespread he got. He really took off because
he made it to America.
He made it to. Not only did he make it all over America, but he made it in Canada, which is very rare.
Yeah, Canada.
And before we move on, though, can we just say? I mean, look, I love Canada. All that stuff we were just talking about. I'm sitting in a chair right now with a Canadian logo on it. Her last name is Butterfield. I mean, how awesome is that?
Yeah,
I love. Yo, isn't there like a brand called Butter?
It's like Land O'Lakes.
I can't believe it's not Butter. Wait, I can't believe it's not Butter. So I can't believe I cannot feel Butter.
Oh,
Butterfield. So, Susan.
So with Dion DiMucci and all of his record sales throughout all of Canada, U.S., all the whole world, that really boosted him, and he was a main like. Musical idol throughout all of the 60s and up to the mid 70s, and even now today he's still very
well known.
Decently well known.
Now we got Dion DiMucci and Susan Butterfield really getting along really well, and he had three daughters with amazing names. We got August. All right, not bad. We got Tane.
Tane, I like that name.
Tane is very
good.
And
Lark.
Lark,
like Steve Lark.
We don't have Clark.
Clark.
We don't have Mark. It's the Lark.
And we do not have cream cheese either. So we do not have cream cheese and Butterfield. Or bagel with Butterfield.
All right. Well, let's move on from the Butterfield situation. In 1980, he switched his genre to Christian music, not Butterfield music.
That's 1980.
Yes. I said 1880.
You said 1988.
I said 1980, I'm pretty
sure. All right, just clarify.
All right, in 1980, he did switch his genre to Christian music. But then, 9 years later, in 1989, he returned to rock music with the album Yo Frankie, featuring Paul Simon, Patti Smith, Lou Reed, Bryan Adams, and Katie Lane.
That's a very good lineup.
Hey.
No, bro, what are you saying? You're supposed to say Yo Frankie.
I was gonna say Bryan Adams.
Here, let's do this again.
That we both know.
Hey Noah.
Hey Frankie. Yo, I mean yo.
All right, let's move on.
And that's a very big group of rock legends in that album. Right. So he got a lot of help with that, and it turned out very very well for him.
All right, so after he returned to his rock career, he joined a band called the Little Kings, which was a short-lived band, so it wasn't around too long. But its members were Scott Kemper. Frank Funero and Mike Mazzaro. So you know, he has the Belmonts, and he goes solo, then he's back with the Belmonts, and changes his genre, and now he's got a new band. A lot of change in this guy's life.
He clearly was around a lot. He clearly didn't like to stick around for too long.
Yeah.
I mean, even with the Belmonts, you see, he does make a little shift back. Maybe he wants to reconnect some ties, but he really just wants to be on the kind of like a traveling band kind of guy. Like, hey, I want to do this. I want to do this. I don't want to be locked down. Like some guys with girls, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
all right, we don't got to get that into there. But, all right, but, very special achievement for him. He was inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1989. His 1961 single "Run Around Sue" had gotten into the Grammy Hall of Fame in 1992.
Mm-hmm. In 2006, he came up with an album, "Bronx in Blue," which was nominated for a Grammy, and he teamed up with Paul Simon to release a single, "New York in My Home," in May New York is My Home in May of 2017.
That's crazy. The guy is going from 1950s to 2017. He's still making hits.
100%.
And he's still alive.
Yeah.
He's still going strong. You know what? Listen.
At 81 years old.
Years old, he's making music, and so can you. So make some good music, people. Make some music that can remind us of the 50s, all right?
Non-electronic stuff, just... good old,
the simple old old fashioned music,
like American, this is also
music.
A big
American
music. Now, music. Yes, like we're talking about making your own beats here, not like, you know, clicking your button and getting a unza unza unza.
No disrespect, no shade. All right, so guys, did you enjoy making this podcast?
Yes, I enjoyed it very much.
I did very much too.
It was fun talking about Dion with all of you guys.
Yes, it was great to be on this podcast. Great to have a guest like Tanny today. So I'm happy we did it. Episode number 4 in the books.
All right.
All right, guys. So, Jacoby, give us the finishing messages.
All right. Well, if you enjoyed our podcast, please watch us on Spotify or at least watch our podcast. That would be very nice. And go follow us on Instagram. And at also listen to us on America. Spotify.
At the Music That Made America.
Yes. And at the Music That Made America. We're the only Music That Made America podcast. So if you enjoyed, also, please let us know somehow by communicating through
us. You can DM us on Instagram if you have any questions, comments, or concerns. Again, at the Music That Made America. Please follow us.
All right. Thank you, and have a nice day.